This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of MIP on WPFW 89.3 Radio, and it's good to be back home in the nation's capital where I started my radio career. It is definitely an honor to be back here, and thankful to the WPFW family for welcoming me back. Also, as you know, Washington, D.C. is the city of my birth, and what is taking place there is something we cannot ignore. The Washington Post is reporting on and has video today of a level of brutality witnessed on a Venezuelan gentleman just, I believe, yesterday. Other governors are sending more National Guard troops to Washington, D.C. What for? And just to add to that, unconfirmed reports are saying that he is set to sign an executive order to ban mail-in voting and tabulating voting machines. We'll need to dig more deeply into that. But for now, we want to talk about Washington, D.C. and what's taking place here now. We've grown to know and love and respect her with regards to Harriet's wildest dreams. And she's been doing a lot of great work against police violence in Washington, D.C. But she's also the co-founder of the Free D.C. Project. That name is the name that SNCC and James Forman and Marion Barry brought to Washington, D.C. in the 1960s, because decolonizing Washington, D.C. was a part of the civil rights movement. Dr. King even marched in Washington, D.C. the night the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was signed. A lot of people don't know that, and there are photographs of that. So we want to talk about the non-state, because we're not a state, the non-state of occupied D.C. with our guest, Nene Taylor. First of all, give us your own report on what you've seen, what's taking place on the ground in D.C. today, even.
So it's escalating from the time that Trump decided to actually try to take over D.C. So from the beginning, shout out to the U.S. Attorney, the District Attorneys of D.C., making that MPD doesn't have to answer to Trump directly or the federal government. But from that, MPD was really like supporting all the different law enforcement. And some of you all may not know that D.C. has over 37 already law enforcement in our city. So we definitely didn't need more people here, right? We definitely didn't need more, and along with the National Guards. So because of that win, Trump going Trump, and I guess he's upset. So now he's actually bought more National Guards, which they're coming from red states, and they're coming with guns. And with that being said, we were already experiencing a high profile of Black and brown people, immigrants being snatched right off, you know, from out of our neighborhoods. And actually, MPD and Homeland Security, FBI, And I'm going into the trenches of Washington, D.C., into the marginalized communities and actually arresting our community members on small charges, like something as standing outside smoking a joint when we know that marijuana is decriminalized and it's something that had not been really enforced here in D.C., an open container. And we also court watch. And so as we go into court watch, when we see those numbers where they're doing checkpoints and actually arresting people, there being no paper. So it's a matter of him saying we arrested all these people and putting their pictures up, but the charges are not sticking. It's just a matter of trying to enslave Black people in a way because he got the power. It's a lot of unlawful arrests, harassments, and profiling in D.C. That's what's going on right now. And now that the National Guards are coming with guns, his friends, we are more concerned. And so we're strategizing in a way to actually demand that they leave our city. And we're doing that today with a 3 o'clock press conference because mm-hmm. It's pretty bad. It's really bad right now in D.C. And you have to move strategically because they're not the regular Metropolitan Police Department. And so with that, myself as being an activist on the ground, it have made me to move more in a more strategic way. Because I don't know what they'll do. We just had one of my organizers get locked up on Friday night trying to watch the kids. And she was brutalized by WMATA Transit. Yeah, and we had to get her out of court.
Can you share her name?
Afeni Evans. Afeni Evans on Friday. D.C. has a curfew for the youth at the Navy Yard. So my team went out to cop watch and actually keep the youth safe and make sure they get out of the Navy Yard safely because it's so many different law enforcement there. And as they were in the metro station, videoing three young men who have been stopped for fare evasion, which D.C. kids actually ride free, but you got to have your pass. They didn't agree with my team cop watching, and Afeni went and paid her fare, and aggressive officer Dale decided to just ask for her ID, which in D.C. you don't have to give your ID. If you think I fair rate, give me a citation. But instead, he proceeded to drag her down and pepper spray her. And she got arrested with three charges of resisting arrest, obstruction justice, and there was another charge. But all three charges were dropped because it was false. And I guess the WMATA Transit wanted to show off in front of the FBI agent. So this is what we're experiencing right now in D.C.
Yeah, that's a good point. You said you wanted to show off because WMATA and their folks, that stands for Washington Metropolitan Area Transit, they normally don't do that. They don't be snatching folk up.
No, you can't touch them. It's not a criminal crime. It's a civil. It's a $50 fine if you don't pay your fare in D.C.
Right. And I remember, quite frankly, years ago, somebody jumped the fare in a train station in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And cop pursued them. The WMATA cop pursued them and got shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
Which sobered a whole lot of folk up. Like, we really want folks getting shot over $2, right? So obviously this is showing out, but that's a whole nother thing. So let me try to, you said something very important. Over 30 police forces, for those of you who don't know, in Washington, D.C. That's not my phone, it might be, okay.
Oh, it was mine. Let me cut mine off. Excuse me, y'all, but my phone, we're in a state of emergency, so my phone is blowing up.
That's right.
But
I'm in an occupied state of emergency.
You got to let the people know what's going on.
30 police forces, which already, Nene,
yeah,
already can pretty much do what they want to do. They can do stop folk, do what they want to. So even what he's doing is just some kind of show.
Yeah.
You don't even need all that, right?
No, it's about power. It's not about control. It's not about safety. Safety would look like, you know, stop firing people, stop cutting SNAP, stop cutting healthcare. If you wanted safety here in D.C., safety would look like they don't even have the prosecutors can't even take the cases, and we short 12 judges. So it's just a matter of, look at me, I can take power, and I'm going to control D.C. But right. We're saying not in our city. We won't subject ourselves to authoritarianism. And so we're going to fight back within a strategic way and use the resources which we have that we can use. And Free D.C., we are not new. We started in January as soon as we knew he got office because we paid attention to the Project 2025 book. And we knew that eventually he would try to come for DC Home Rule. And so we were prepared. And so we already have an infrastructure to fight against this authoritarianism attack. And so we ready to fight back by any means necessary that we can do and by ways of doing, you know, like we learned from our ancestors, building out people power. And so, and this is what we're doing right now at Free DC, building out people power so that we can actually stand up against someone that, you know, should get out of our city, period. Him and all the law enforcement officers. I wish it was a way that we can unpresident him, but, you know, it's just crazy right now.
I like that verb. Can I borrow that verb? Unprecedented.
Sure. Yeah.
Unprecedented. And, you know, we know that DC should be a state.
Yes.
It still is not. And that's part of the issue. But let's also be frank. He's creating distractions from the Epstein files.
Absolutely.
Which his own base, the people who allegedly love him, want to see it. Mm-hmm. And that's flipping him out. So, you know, obviously that's a part of it. So you're having a press conference today. And folks, your calls on WPFW 202-588-0893. Tell us about the 3 o'clock press conference. What are you all going to be saying? And then what are you doing other things too in the community as well, aren't you?
Absolutely. Because we know that Black people are not safe right now and we're witnessing that. We're literally, unfortunately, in D.C., we're in the Jim Crow Emmett Till time. I met with our First Lady, Cora Master Burry. We had a meeting at her house of leaders in D.C. to see, like, you know, how we can actually keep people, our community safe in a, you know, not moving a safer, you know, in a safer way. But we all got lanes. Me, myself, I'm an abolitionist. And so I'm going to move a little different, but I'm going to move safer. I'm going to move more strategic. But she's starting a campaign led by her, and she brought people like Von Moten, Tony Lewis, and myself together. And we're asking people to be the village and stay out the way, right? And so personally, for Hers, Wilder's Dreams and Free DC, we're going into the trenches where our young people at. And we're teaching them to know your rights. We're teaching them know your rights. We're teaching them how to cop watch, how to use a phone to actually take, you know, film the police when they're attacking their neighbors. So we're doing so much preventive things that can actually try to keep people as safe as possible. And so at 3 o'clock, we're doing a press conference to ask them to demand that they leave our city. We need them to leave our city. And so, and we also asking for we're actually doing police complaints for the officer who unlawfully beat up a Feeney. It's so much work to do here in D.C. because he's intentionally coming at us with everything he can, coming at our youth, coming at our unhoused, and everything to distract from the Epstein files.
Do you think he's trying? Because, I mean, obviously, you really got to be strategic in this because I'm sure you probably sense he's trying to provoke something, too.
You absolutely
know, us to do something,
yeah,
so they act even crazier. So,
yeah, you know me, Mark, by the time right. You know me, if I didn't think that he didn't want to provoke, you know, I would have turned the city upside down already, even when he just got arrested on Friday. I can't turn the city up, let's do this in a strategic way because we got all these law enforcement agencies here.
No, full disclosure, I reached out to some folks back in January. Folks was running down to Mar-a-Lago and having meetings. Why y'all doing that? Mm-hmm. I said, do I need to come home and start to build a resistance? Oh, no. Don't do that. Because if you do that, they're going to do something.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm still here. I ain't there.
Yeah.
But you're right. If you and I went out there, then that'd just be a whole nother thing. And, you know, so, and that has to be, that's tough. Because we want to we need to do something.
Yeah.
And what is your assessment of, and we know the Attorney General did what was appropriate and we got a victory on that for the moment.
Yes.
What about the mayor? What's your interaction been with, or has there been any interaction between the mayor and the movement?
So right now, honestly, we need unity. We need to not be divided. And what I you know, I try to tell the people is that from D.C. not being a state, it's so much that Mayor Bowser can do. And for the Free D.C. campaign, Hers Wildest Dreams, we worried about the safety of our people and in our community. If Mayor Bowser try to do things in a way that we would do things, we have to worry about the budget and our laws not being passed because Congress controlled D.C. Right now, they got a billion dollars of our money sitting up there right now. So in my mind, I'm thinking that this is why and the council, they have to do the things they do. But also, I'm not in agreement that Black people and Black issues and brown people are the sacrifice of Trump. So that bothers me, my heart, you know. I'm like, okay, but also the people who is getting the brunt of this are Black and brown people. So that hurts. But we're working with them as much as we can, especially the council members. When Afeni got locked up, shout out to Councilwoman Janice Lewis and Trayon White. They came down there and stood in solidarity. Councilmember Parker called me and said he's going to call for investigation. So they're doing what they can. Councilman Nadeau invited Free D.C. to come do a training or orientation because we are building people power. Because we've seen in other countries, when you have enough people, you can overthrow the person. So right now we're trying to get 25,000 people who can be strong enough to come out and we can resist Trump and all the nonsense that he's trying to create and go to the next state. So the goal right now is to protect home rule the best way we can and build a people power so that we can get to the streets in a way that we can resist.
202-588-0893. And we definitely want to hear from some of you who have witnessed this occupation in our non-state. D.C. is occupied by the military right now. Your reaction to that, what you've witnessed, whether any of you or any of your loved ones have been victimized by this occupation in Washington, D.C. Please give us a call, 202-588-0893. Nene, I think this is the first time the military has occupied the streets of Washington, D.C., which it did not do January 6th.
Oh, they occupied it for us on 2020 to get the Black people once again. So this is what I told people, and probably okay. I'm not as scared, but I'm trying, but that's because of my ancestors and God. I have no fear, but I got to be smart. But Mark, if you remember in 2020, they actually took over our city because before Trump went out and did every corner with guns in D.C. to the point it was you couldn't move around because he bought the military and they came in guns with 2020 during the George Floyd era. Right before he left out, he got the military to come here. And so we have expressed it, but this is a little different because now he's not going out. He's doing this where he still have a lot of power. And so I think his goal is to try to hold us for 30 days, and eventually try to take control over D.C. So we're asking our national partners, and we have a call for national people in other states to call your Congress people and demand that the law enforcement get out of our city and also not to let him occupy D.C. after 30 days when the executive order is finished.
And so that executive order is literally just for 30 days, correct?
Yes, Congress have to extend it for him. So we are asking people to call their Congress people and right. tell them not to extend the occupation of D.C. and demand that their Congress people speak up because we don't have a voice and we don't have a vote in Congress. And so we need our national partners and our community and our allies in all the other states, like hold D.C. down because we literally in an occupied state. And it's really dangerous for people in D.C. right now, especially Black people and youth.
202-588-0893. Nene Taylor, have you learned, and again, Nene Taylor, co-founder of Hers Wildest Dreams and the co-founder of the Free D.C. Project, which is a Free D.C. is a longstanding name in the movement going back over 60 years, beginning with Marion Barry and SNCC and mm-hmm. James Forman. Any lessons from LA that you've been able to look at or learn from that are applicable in DC?
Yeah, we never saw our hands. And shout out to the Movement for Black Lives, who is my national partners. And so I'm in a community with them, and I'm in community with my partners that's in LA who have given me resources and things that, you know, to look for and, you know, strategy. So we in this all together. So I have, you know, I'm in communication with Melina, with Black Lives Matter Grassroots, and Baja, another Black grassroots organization who was outside with this. And they're supporting me and understand, you know, it's a little different in D.C. because D.C. is not a state. But, you know, I'm strategically making, you know, before we show up, you know, you stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. So this is where we at right now, and know that we're not going to just bow down and put our tails, you know, down. We literally going to, you know, fight back and protect D.C. home rule. And just know that we literally, it's our duty to love, support, and protect one another. And so that's what we're doing. And I'm trying not to get the hood people out, but I'm getting the calls. What are we going to do, Nene? What are we going to do? And I'm like, we're going to just strategize, and we're going to move in here smooth, and we're going to, you know, try to protect D.C. and ourselves and our communities.
We may need to clarify that. You say you're trying not to get the hood people out.
Not this segment, because we don't have the people power. So, you know, we try to protect them in a way, in a defensive way right now, right? Where I'm teaching them know your rights and how to frame the police, because this is not our MPD. And this is what I keep emphasizing to them, that even with me, I'm licensed to carry in D.C. and Maryland. I will not carry, right? Because they don't know me. MPD know me. MPD know that Nene has a license to carry. But that FBI agent or that DEA agent may not know that. And I risk my life by having, you know, a gun on me, because they're going to shoot me and ask questions later. So I'm very vulnerable right now.
And let's be real about it. They're going to say you trying to shoot them.
Yeah. They're
going to say you trying to shoot them. And they're going to say I told you to do it.
Yeah. Just checking me. They're not going to wait to say, show me your license. You know, it's just that. She's a protester. She's a well-known activist. She has a gun. That's it. So it's not safe. It's not safe. I wouldn't tell anybody, y'all, it's not safe right now. It's not safe for Black people to carry with people, with strangers in our city. That's what I would say.
Let's get a quick caller too. And caller, God bless you. You're on air with Nene Taylor of the Free DC Project. What's your name, caller?
I don't know what they're doing. Hello?
Okay. So there you go. There he is. What's your name, caller?
Larry.
All right, Larry, what's your question or comment?
Hey, Mark, this is Larry Ham. I was just calling.
Hey, man. This is Newark, Nene. Newark calling to check on us.
We sure are. We want to support our brothers and sisters down there. But to get right to the point.
Yeah, we want your support. We don't need Larry to come down to either, Nene, because we all going to jail if we come down there. But go ahead. We're talking about this now.
But let Larry know that he did how he did a stand by. Ain't that what he said? Stand by.
Stand by. I'm ready to bring some buttons.
That was just called. I'm saying the same thing. Stand by.
That's right.
But you made a point. This is the first time I'm hearing this. I had heard about the 30 days, but you're the first person I actually heard say to press our Congress people not to vote for that 30-day extension. So in response to what I just heard you say, I'm going to reach out to my congressperson here in New Jersey, Congresswoman LaMonica McGyver. Mm-hmm. She's the first Black woman congressperson from the 10th district. This was the district that Donald Payne was from. He was the first Black congressman in the history of 350-year history of New Jersey. They didn't elect him until almost the 21st century. So, but LaMonica, he passed away. His son was in, then his son passed away. Now LaMonica is in there, and LaMonica is under attack. Trump appointed U.S. Attorney Alina Haba has indicted LaMonica McGyver.
Yep.
She was one of the people that was with Mayor Baraka when they arrested Mayor Baraka. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. They have arrested our mayor. They've indicted our congresswoman because they were standing up for the undocumented folks in the ICE prison down here in Newark. So, but I will reach out to LaMonica, Congresswoman LaMonica MacGyver, and urge her to vote against. Is it going to be a bill that she has to vote against, to vote against the 30-day extension? Is it going to be a bill, or is it some other mechanism that we're working with?
It'll be a bill, won't it, Nene?
Yeah, it's going to be requests and legislation from him for the request. They the ones have to authorize it, but it is a bill that Congressman Van Hollen is going to present when they come back from recess to ask them to get the military and all the law enforcement out of our city. So even with that, when they come back, he's going to present legislation for D.C. asking that all the law enforcement and military leave our city. And they come back from recess in September, if I'm not mistaken.
Van Hollen is introducing a bill that you support. You're telling me
yes.
you support.
Yes. For them to leave, Larry.
Okay.
And so, Nene, I think I saw somewhere, I don't have in front of me, where is a website people can go to?
Yes.
The Freedom of Congress on this issue, right?
Yes, it's under freedcproject.org.
Okay.
freedcproject.org, you will see that we got the national petition for local people and for national allies.
So people go to that freedcproject.org, Larry and everybody.
Yep, that gives
real simple. It's a template.
Yeah.
Direct contact with your member of Congress, the language to use, everything.
Yep, you ain't even got to write the script already written for you.
Okay, Larry.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. I will get on it. Thank you very much.
Love you, man. I'll see you later tonight. Thank you.
Yes, you will.
My brother. Next caller, Michael, is there another caller?
Yes.
All right,
yes,
we're going to call it. God bless you. You're on the air with Nene Taylor.
Yes. Good morning to you, Brother Marcel Mellon. Good morning.
Hey, man.
This is Brother Ron Bethay speaking to you, brother.
Hey, Ron. It's been a minute, doctor. How you doing, man?
The war continues, brother. I'm out here. I've already been in contact with my Congressman Glenn Ivey. I'm over here in Ward 9 right now.
Yes.
Nine, brother. But the bottom line is, For those who don't know,
Ward D.C. has 8 wards. Ward 9 is PG County.
That's what we say.
Go ahead, Ron.
So what I'm saying, brother, this is all smoke and mirrors. Trump called a meeting during the election of 2024, unholy alliance between the fossil fuel industry and the tech industry, and indicated they put up $1 billion, they could do whatever they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
When we pay our gas, water, and electric bills through the regulatory entity called the PJM, which controls the cost of energy, we are basically financing our own demise. So we need to talk about the cost of our gas, water, and electric bills going up because of these data centers, and how that impacts us on the ground with giving him the power that he has. So with that was being said, Brother Mark Miller, I sent you a letter last week. I emailed you, and I'll leave my telephone number because we need to be in contact.
I've got your number. I'll call you, Ron. I promise, okay?
All right, my brother. When you move, take that battery out of that cell phone and they can't trust you.
I don't travel with my phone. I've been doing this. Yeah, I'm one of the ones, the pictures that go on the list up in the walls, I've been told, when they have all their meetings, like I'm one of the pictures that they show everybody. So yeah, I move real smooth and cool. Thank you for that advice, though.
Okay, all right, sister, you be strong, Brother Montanola. You be safe too, brother. Watch back.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Thank you, Nene. Do you know?
One more.
We got one more. Okay, let's get this one in real quick. Caller, God bless you. You're on the air with Nene Taylor of the Free DC Project. Caller, what's your name, please?
Hey, bless you. This is Nana Malaya. How you doing, both of y'all?
How are you, Nana? What's going on?
All right. Well, I'm just glad you all are continuing to do the work you do, and myself as well. You know, I'm an activist, an educator, and an artist. What I wanted to encourage, of course, I know you all will continue to do your work. Thank you for letting us know the things that are going on. I would like to know if there's a legal clinic, because one of the things that was powerful in the 60s, and it's been helpful when people know exactly what their rights are. So if they're approached by officer, policeman, or National Guard, what legally they can say so that they know they don't have to show ID or they don't have to allow themselves to be searched, those kind of things. Because I know there's certain terminology that's encouraged to use. And is there anything we can pass out to people so people can have these things at least at the ready? So when they need to respond, I mean, I'm told there's certain things that, am I free to go? Am I being held? I know one gentleman said, my name is honorary citizen or something like that. But what are some of the things that are helpful for people to know, and how can we get that information out to more people on a very grassroots basis?
Yeah, we actually have a Know Your Rights on the freedcproject.org page. But we are in the trenches and we're teaching it in our communities, and we're teaching it like on events. And even on the 3DC event page, you will see we actually have a Know Your Rights training for the youth tomorrow night. That's online. So the information is on the 3DCproject.org page. It's a Know Your Rights section that right. People can actually get that information.
3DCproject.org.
Yep.
Yeah. 3DC Project. Thank you, Nana Malaya. We appreciate you as well. I know we got another call. Before we do that, though, Nene, have you met Ron Hampton?
I have met Ron. Me and Ron have crossed paths. He gives me a lot of tips.
Well, that's good. And why that is important. Ron's here.
Hey, Ron.
How you doing?
All right.
Hey, I don't know what your time is like. I see your phone is blowing up. But Ron is an ideal source for how people should comport themselves. And I just want to say this, too, because some of our experiences over the years with D.C. police, I'm sure a lot of these cops in the other agencies and some of these National Guards people don't even want to be there doing this. Am I wrong about that?
Mm-mm. No, you're right. You're right. You're right.
A lot of our folks in the DMV, they like us. They go to work every day.
Yeah.
No, you're right, Mark.
Most of them didn't plan to get killed on January 6th, as a matter of fact. They folks weren't built for that. That's not what this is. So I just want to be clear. Nene, you got to go. How's your time?
My time is fine.
Let's go. Let's roll in. Ron, let me get this one other call. Then I want to hear what you have to say about what you observed. And I'm sure you saw some cops. Michael, we have another call. Let's get that one in, please. Caller, you there? God bless you. Go right ahead. You're on the air with Nene Taylor and Ron Hampton, who I did not mention, former executive director, I guess executive director emeritus of National Black Police Association. Go right ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm an RD. I'm an activist since 1963 in South Carolina State College. And I know Ron, and I'm very familiar with your work. My thing is, I just hope and pray something that everybody keeps a cool head, because back in the early 60s, we had certain role models like the Panthers, and we just don't want to get into a situation of perpetrating any type of violence. And I think somebody at some point. It is not going to go for all this calling the congressman and calling your senators and all that, man. Somebody's going to just go on. And that's my concern as an 81-year-old activist.
Mm. Thank you, RD. Ron, you want to take that one first?
Well, let me tell you this. What has been happening so far? First of all, let me say good afternoon to everyone. So far, people are keeping a cool head, and like Nene talked about, there are organizations, Spanish-speaking organizations, and the local organizations, some of the activists, and then organizations like the ACLU. I've been working with, my middle child is my son, and he's on the spectrum, and we've been working with the Disabilities Council and other organizations, because we have had people with disability that was injured or even met their death as a result of the police, because the police didn't understand that. But in other words, they need to keep a cool head, be able to understand what your rights are and to push back on this stuff in the calm, legitimate way so that you can live to fight another day. Because we're being used as an experiment. This isn't, and you can do it in DC because unfortunately we are a plantation. We have a home rule charter rather than a state. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we need to lay down and roll over and play like a dead dog. And we're not going to do that. Never have, that we never will. So there's good information out there. Back in 1973, working with people here in the city, I developed a flyer myself that said, what they're doing, stopped by the police. And it's a legitimate flyer. It's based in fact. And you just need to read it and then use it. It talks about what you can do when they come to your house, when they stop you, and when they drive, when you're driving your car. And you can say things like, ask them, am I being detained? And then if they said no, then you can walk away. You don't have to give them your name. There's nothing that says you have to give them your name. What we get mixed up sometimes, if there, for example, was an incident that happened and you happen to look like or fit the description they say, then you can answer the questions. But still, if you didn't do it, then you don't have to submit to no search and all that kind of stuff. So long as you know it and your stuff is based in fact, then you're going to be all right. And that's what we've been doing here. There's a grassroots level education campaign going on, and our people will act accordingly. But I also worry about not giving them anything to work with, because see, they want you to do something so that will be the front page picture, and then they can claim and justify what it is that they're doing. But the orange man, he don't deserve any media or anything else. So we just need to be working in our community and keeping them safe. But that's our job. That's our job.
Ron, have you had any interaction with law enforcement in this, who are members of the NBPA?
I've talked to, we have very few co-workers or members here in the city, but I've talked to a couple of people, and then
Why is that, Ron? Why?
Well, because those times when I was coming along, Mark, and when we was doing the work with the task force and all that stuff, the young people who came behind us, they didn't have a reference point for struggle. They didn't have a reference point for the civil rights movement. They thought that they took the test and passed the test and that they made all of this on their own, which you and I know that that's not the case. And so even though we've had situations coming along, it's only been a couple of years ago when 10 women from the Metropolitan Police Department sued the Metropolitan Police Department for hostile workplace and discrimination against women. So, there's still a need, and there are people around who are answering those questions. But for some reason, the organization, after some of us left the police force, the organization just went to the wayside. But that doesn't mean that there still hasn't been a response to all this crazy stuff, because I had the pleasure of serving on the D.C. Police Reform Task Force. I worked with the sister at D.C. Justice Lab and continue to work with all of the groups because there's a need for that. We're working with Dr. Daniels at the Institute of the Black World, working on creating the options of what we have now, because this system and the system of policing just hasn't worked for Black people. And not just here, but across the state. So we try to do what it is that we can do with what we have. But that doesn't mean that Black police officers don't care. They do care, and they've been active, but it's been sporadic.
Yeah. Nene Taylor, Ron Hampton with us. Ron, what to do when stopped by the police, the document that the NBPA developed. Mm-hmm. Where is that available? Can we get that to the Free Project, and maybe they can put it on their website? And folks, it's very because we need the tools, folks.
Yeah,
because it's gonna be a lot of education, right, Nene? You want people to be careful, right, Nene?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What form did you ask her for?
It's called What to Do. It's called What to Do When Stopped by the Police.
Oh, yeah, we have it on our website. We have that on our website as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also
I know she know me. Well, from Her As Wild As Dreams, Mark, we have no other choice but to be educated on this. And we have a like you said, when she was asking a legal aid, we have the movement lawyers where we literally have lawyers who literally got our back. Like when the Feeney got arrested, our lawyer was right there, and this is why we never went in front of the judge. Her charges was dropped while we were waiting to go to court.
That's right. That's
okay.
That's good.
Afeni's out and she's okay.
Oh yeah, she just traumatized. That's like, you know, because we do this, but when you had the police beat one of your own, and
that's right,
and with all this going on, I probably would have reacted different, Mark. And I just told them, I'm glad that I wasn't there. So God put things in people in places that when they need to be. Because when he was beating on her and the people that was there, which Juan just left my other program manager on the radio. She was literally right there saying, call Nene. And she did not engage. But if I had been there and they were beating a Feeney like that, I probably would have engaged just because of who I am. So I just thank God I wasn't there, because we don't need all of us in a cage. That's not how we're going to get free. Right. So that's the message I'm going around. Her time and never went to jail and never got caught. And so this is how I'm trying to move through the world in the spirit of Her Tubman. She never got caught and she never went in nobody's cage. And so I don't plan to do neither.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's very important. Ron, talk to us about jurisdiction, because before you came on, Nene and I talked about there were already over 30 police forces in DC.
Right.
Really can do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. And so what really do, and does What to Do When Stopped by the Police, should our reaction when stopped by the police be any different than when stopped by the National Guard? Is that a different thing?
No. It should be the same. As a matter of fact, there's still only one police force in Washington, D.C., and that's the D.C. Metropolitan Police Force, because the Metropolitan Police Force is the local municipal police department. It's the one who's answering calls. It's the one who's providing services. They're still providing for services in our community. All these other people are here as a result of that provision in the Home Rule Act that provides for that emergency type situation. And we know that it says 30 days. What that does is those people are here to augment and do certain things. The president gives them power to be on the street. They can walk on the street. They can ride in cars. They can make arrests. They will make arrests if there's a law that's broken, because these are federal police officers. And federal police officers can make arrests in jurisdictions like Washington, D.C. So that's not the question. The question is, from a constitutional standpoint, do they have to, when you ask them a question, do they have to respond? Yeah. But if they ask you a question and you haven't, they walk up to you and ask you what's your name, and you don't have to tell them the name, just like the Metropolitan Police Department. If they ask you, you don't have to tell them the name. If you're driving your car and they ask you for your permit, driving is a privilege. You give them the permit and your license and registration, and then let them go. You don't have to let them search your car. The advice is to say no and let them know that you don't consent to a search. And so the laws really don't change. By them coming in here, they can do the same thing that the police can do. The question is, is it an infringement on our rights in terms of what it is that's happening? And those are questions that the legal community, I commend the Attorney General, because he stood up and faced down those people up on at Justice and whatnot to try to overrule the Chief of Police. And so they pushed back on that. That's what has to do. We had to do that. But in terms of, is anything different? No, nothing is different. Your rights are still in place. There's no martial law or none of that. So you can ask questions. And If the answers are sufficient for you, then that's fine. But you don't have to do anything. You don't have to cooperate.
But Ron,
it doesn't make a difference.
What's different is that the federal agents don't make traffic stops, and they're making unlawful traffic stops and with detaining and arresting our people because they don't know how to make a traffic stop in D.C.
Well, that's true. They're not trained to do those kinds of things.
So we have people, like I just told Mark, where with her as Writer's Dreams watching the courts, getting no paper because they don't know the law, but they're actually detaining and arresting our community members because they can't
get
the point. You're
absolutely right. But you know this, needing that like I do. The street is not the place to have the debate about what's going to happen because you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You go ahead, accept that, and then you go to court, then they throw the case out because they're not legitimate traffic stops and whatnot. Like the sister, what they did. She didn't do anything wrong. She was speaking up about what was happening.
Yeah.
They abused her, and then she just went on ahead and got arrested, and then they let her go because y'all got lawyers that are doing it. See, that's what has to happen. You don't want to give them anything to work with, and you don't want to end up being that front page picture about something to justify what the orange man and them want to do. Because this is an experiment, and if they can do it here and pull it off, then they're going to try to do it in other places.
Black state. They're going to the next.
That's exactly right.
They got it. He got it lined up. If I can get D.C., then I'm heading to Baltimore. I'm heading to Chicago. You know,
that's what they're going to do.
And so as people talk about that it's about authoritarianism and fascism, that is true. But he also need to get his political enemies out the way. And so that's why he's going to the other states on a Democratic way. All right, let me get all the Democratic states so I can be the president forever.
That's right.
What to do. That's the end goal for Trump.
People
got to realize that. And what we got to do is just protect D.C. home rule and try not to have too many casualties in this war.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Nina, I don't know if you've heard, but there are people who don't live here who are black folk, who are fighters, they're willing to also come to D.C., be a part of the pushback. I just finished doing Jonas' program, and so Larry Ham and them brothers up in Newark, they're talking about putting together a bus, and there are other people who are talking about it, too. I know I've had a conversation with Dr. Daniels, and they're talking about putting together a gathering of people to sit down and talk and strategize about what it is that's going on. The very idea that they do it here and they can move on, we need to be prepared for that.
Yeah, and that's what I feel. And also, for me right now, because like what people realize, like you just said, Ron, you hear D.C. is not a state and there's so many jurisdictions, even to the point where to gather on at a park, you only can have 25 people. So even trying to have a rally without a permit, park police and federal agents can actually arrest us. And so all that is playing in my head as I'm strategizing. So right now when I'm in the streets and we're going out, everything I do, I'm making sure that I do it on D.C. jurisdiction.
So thank you.
Chief Smith, no, Nene's out here. I got my First Amendment right. Don't let your cops, even though we know MPD is a racist system, but you know I'm out here. We got a right for our First Amendment right. Don't let them mess with us. And that's my only ask. I said, my fight is not with MPD right now. My fight is with all these different legal, our law agencies in here. It's your duty to protect us from them and not be with them and let them cause harm to your constituents here in Washington, D.C. That's what I expect from MPD.
Well, I'll tell you what. That is fantastic because, see, we got to hold her accountable and hold her feet to the fire because she get paid for protecting citizens in Washington, D.C. Not that Fed, but here in Washington, D.C.
That's right. So that's my strategy. You know, I'm staying off of federal property, you know, and I don't want no problems with MPD. And, you know, transparency, y'all, you know, just let's not have no problems because if y'all have some problems, they escalate, then it's going to be
a
problem.
That's right.
We got a few more calls. Let's get another quick call through him before we do have to run. Nene Taylor, Ron Hampton with us, folks, on WPFW in Washington, D.C., FM 89.3. Caller, you're next. God bless you. What's your name, caller? You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Peace and blessings, Brother Mark Mello. This is Brother Uhuru.
Hey, Harold Hunter.
Yes, sir.
Real, real quick for me, Harold. I don't have a lot of time. I got about 3 minutes. Give me something quick and strong.
3 minutes. Oh, brother. You're going to have to bring me on the show because I'm fired up, man. Let me just say this. We have to get our brothers off of the street because some of these people are asking the homeless, you know, for their name and identification. And for all we know, they're being taken off from where. So, Brother Hampton and Sister Nene, we got work to do. I'm definitely on the front line, and I'll do my part. Peace and love to everybody. And let's make this police accountable. I think that's one of our biggest problems. You know, it's about taxation without representation. We have enough money, we have enough land, and we have enough people to become a state. Peace and love.
Next caller, real quick caller, not a lot of time. Real quick caller, God bless you. You're on the air. What's your name? Caller, you there? Nope, don't have him.
They're gone. We got less than a minute anyway.
Okay, we got to run. Listen, Nene, website again, please.
FreeDCProject.org, FreeDCProject.org. FreeDC been here before, so that's why we have to put the word project behind it. Because when you say FreeDC, that's Mayor Bob Murrenberry and them. That's right.
Would you say Murrenberry? Did you just say that like that? That's how you say it, you know.
You wouldn't understand.
I do understand. I don't know if everybody else does. I get it. Rod, where can people find you these days?
I'm working with Ron Daniels, Dr. Ron Daniels, the Institute of the Black World, and we're having a gathering. We're trying to pull together some people. We are also looking at DC for a possible pilot project, like the work we did up in Highland a couple of years ago. So. Just keep us in prayer, and we're gonna do it.
Yeah. Thank you, Ron Hampton. Thank you, Nene Taylor. FreeDCProject.org. Thank you, all of you. It has been made plain.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.